Can you turn in your Bible, please, to, let me see, Psalm 27. And I'd like to speak this morning something that God has put on my heart before I came here this morning, something very important. And the message is to see how we can conquer fear, how to conquer fear. And I believe this is a massive subject, but I believe that God wants to do something through his word and by his spirit this morning to help you to conquer any fear that you might have, might be living with, or might be resurrecting itself occasionally. You know how fear's got a habit of coming back sometimes? And I believe that Jesus wants to totally eliminate. There is a scripture in Psalm 34 that says that Jesus, or God, delivered me from all my fears. And I believe that sometimes we sell the Christian life too short. And we accommodate or live with stuff that Jesus died to liberate us from. And therefore, I believe that God wants to deliver you individually from all your fears. Do you not think that that would be a happy life? To never fear anything or anyone. I believe that this is, you can read this in scripture, and it's very clear that this is what God wants to do for us. And we all have faced, and some of us have overcome, but we face little fears and big fears. And I don't want to give them any better names than that, little fears and big fears, but they really do niggle and bother, or big fears can totally overwhelm and shut down your life. And God, all the way through his word, which is God speaking to mankind. If you read the Bible, it's actually God speaking to us. And all the way through the Bible, the word of God says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. And then he goes back to another way of saying it. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Stop fearing. And again and again and again, and I believe there is a don't fear for every day of the year. And that rhymes. Just say that. There's a don't fear for every day of the year. And that's a word from God to you. But sometimes we need a little bit of help seeing how to conquer fear that you and I need to win over. To be bold and confident and very courageous is something that God admires. And interestingly, prophetically, through the worship, we had a prophetic song this morning about being bold. I don't know if you were listening to the voice of the Spirit through the worship this morning, but it was about being bold. And so obviously the Spirit actually wants to really reinforce to us at this time, this morning, that we are called to be very bold, courageous. And God spoke to a man called Joshua before he was to lead God's people into inherit the land, possess the land where actually giants lived, where actually there were big problems. The promised land had living next door big problems. And Joshua heard God say to him, don't be afraid. Be strong and very courageous. And he said this three times. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. I think God was repeating himself to get over a point. Have you noticed that if you don't get it the first time, God keeps saying it until you actually listen up, because this is what God wants to say to you now. Be strong and very courageous. This message is for everyone listening to this message. Now let's look at Psalm 27 and verse 1. And I want us to look into and have a little bit of insight into a man of God called David. David was a king in Israel. And in the life of David, we see so many examples of how we are called to live. And David was a man who had a heart after God, and he knew God. And David actually brought us many of the scriptures, the word of God. God spoke to him. And he brings us really this word, which is the word of the Lord, to us today. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, this is the Amplified version up here. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread?" We've been singing that this morning. But God actually wants that to be a living reality, where we realize who he is, so we've got absolutely nothing to fear. The Lord, and David doesn't say my faith. He doesn't say my performance. He doesn't say it's my character not to fear. He says the Lord is my salvation, my light, my stronghold, my refuge. And because of who he is to me, I've got nothing to be worried about. So David, whilst this truth about God is a universal truth, it's the truth all the time for everybody, David actually says, it's for me. God is my light in trouble. God is my salvation. That means he saves me every day from a lot of bother, from a lot of trouble, and sometimes from the worst situations. God is my salvation. He will save me out of trouble. God is my stronghold. That means I can run to him and his defense. He is my defense, so nobody can get at me. In any war, a place to run to, a place to fight from even, is a stronghold. And the Bible says if anyone's in Christ, Christ is in you, you are in Christ, Christ becomes your stronghold. Christ is God. God is your protection. Hang on. You don't have to protect yourself. God is your stronghold. He is your refuge. David knew this as a personal reality. It was his faith, his trust in God. The Lord is these truths in my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then the scripture goes on to say in verse 2, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Even though someone wants to have me for breakfast, to eat me up, and even though a whole army is actually coming against me, I'm still not going to be afraid. My heart will not fear. And then he goes on to say, even then I will be confident. Okay, now just imagine, put you in the middle of Syria today, on a street in Syria, where you are the target for snipers. Let's just think real. The army with weapons are shooting at you. David lived this reality in his time. He had an army coming against him. He actually even had a man called Goliath. Goliath was a whole lot bigger and stronger and had bigger weapons than David. Goliath spoke to David like this. Come on then, I'll have you for breakfast. I'm going to eat you up. And that's the intimidating words of the devil that come and says, I'm going to eat you up. You're not going to survive this. You're not going to get through it. You're not going to get over it. And David actually said, even though someone, an evil man, comes against me, I'm not going to be afraid. And even though an entire army is after me, which Saul's army were for a lot of times, he said, my heart will not fear. I am confident. Now, I'd like you to think today about having a change of personality. From timid, afraid, a little bit on the back foot, to bold, confident, and courageous. Say those words, it'll do you good. Bold, confident, and courageous. And I want you to know this morning from God's word is that God admires bold, confident, courageous believers. Chicken isn't part of your language. What is chicken? Chicken is running. Running away. And I believe this morning that we see the secret of David's fearless courage because of who the Lord was to him. And you can have such a relationship and understanding of who the Lord is to you, and that understanding will drive out all fear. Jesus said to his disciples, those who were committed to following him, he gave a condition for living in freedom. And I would say that everybody in this room wants to live in freedom. You'd be off your head and need a little bit more help than everybody else if you didn't. You want to live free, don't you? Free from fear. Let's take the subject this morning. And Jesus actually said, if you want to live free, he said, if in John 8, verse 32, you are my disciples, if you continue in my word. So in other words, as you follow me, you need to continue in the word of God, the truth, the Bible. What does that mean? Like David, David said, the Lord's my light. I know who he is. He is light, but he's my light. The Lord is my salvation. He saves me at every point. He didn't just save me for heaven. He saved me today. He saved me from so much. And he will always save me. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. In other words, you won't just know about it through a message. You will come to know God personally through his word. And you'll go from a timid person who runs at certain things to a bold, courageous believer. It will change you. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, you will know the truth. Not the facts about what you're scared about, but the truth of God's word. That's what will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So many people know about their problems, what they're scared about. Go on for years saying, I've always been scared of that. Well, isn't it time to have no fear? To be bold, courageous believers. David was saying, I don't fear anyone or anything. Now, to be honest, I'm a work in progress. I don't know about you. There are times when I'm tempted to fear about something, some situation. So I'm not perfectly living in this. Can I just say we're all on a journey to continue in the truth, to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But I know how far I've come. I didn't used to be able to speak to anyone, let alone you lot with a microphone. I used to be very timid. And now some people characterize me as bold as a lion. And this pleases God. The other version of me didn't. But he loved me enough to change me. And I'm saying this morning that if you keep your personality as your personality, you won't glorify God. Because God wants you to have a change of personality into who he is. Now, I know he's made you a new creation. I know the scriptures as well as you do. If you've been in this church, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things, all things have become new. But I have noticed that I'm not totally living out the new person, and that I'm growing in as my mind, my soul gets changed, as I continue to grow in my faith. But I want to arrive at a place where I'm not afraid of anyone or anything apart from God. The right fear of God. To live in awe and respect of God is a different matter. And I want to live my life out in fear of God because he is God. And I fear the day when he will ask me, give me account. Give me an account for what you did with your life. Because we will all stand there. And sometimes I think we need the right fear to adjust us to God's ways. But David, he basically said, no enemy is going to diminish me and bring fear into my life. Now, we know that people get afraid of spiders. They get afraid of meeting somebody. They get afraid of changing their job. They get afraid of loneliness, of what might be happening in the future. They fear sickness coming back. People fear their relationships going down the pan. Sorry, that means going wrong. People fear loads of things, and I think you could probably fill history with what people have feared, but I think we need to write history with our bold, confident, courageous faith that conquers fear. I think it's time to conquer fear so that we can possess the land and lead lots of people to do the same. So don't live with those little pet fears. Don't make them your pets. Kick them out. Now, if we study the Bible, you will know if you read the Bible, if you don't read the Bible, you won't know much about God. But if you study the Bible, you will read about real people who had to overcome a lot of stuff, like Joshua. Joshua must have had to overcome fear for God to repeat it 3 times. And then, every time I read it, I kind of hear God say 3 times to me, be strong and very courageous. Every time I read that word, I think, uh-oh, there's something I've got to face that's going to require courage. And so these are real people with real emotions who really did face giants, who really did win things for God and do amazing things. Because I believe, totally believe, that unless you conquer your fears, you won't conquer territory for Jesus. You've got to get rid of your fears before you become a land taker. And you have not just come into the kingdom for this time just for you. You are here for those who God has called you to reach. You are here for others. But we must deal with these fears internally so that we can see confidence reaching others. God admires boldness. Can I just say that again? God admires boldness. And I don't mean boldness that comes out of being a brash, foolish person, bold doing things that are not God. I'm talking about a holy boldness. A boldness that is based and founded in God's nature and character and based on his word. That's the kind of boldness I'm talking about. But I think, if you think about Bartimaeus, he was bold. He cried out, the blind man at the side of the road, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They said, shut up. Be quiet. You're annoying us all. What did he do? He cried out a little louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Because it stopped Jesus in his tracks. His boldness to go beyond the crowd, beyond what people thought of him. And that's often a fear that traps people. What will I look like if? Bartimaeus didn't care. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see. Well, your faith, which was shown in your bold cry for help has healed you. Wow. What about the outsider whose daughter was demon possessed? Came to Jesus, he seemed to ignore her. Kept going, said, Lord, have mercy on me. Fell down at his feet and said, Lord, help me. I mean, sometimes the most powerful prayers are the short ones. That's a short prayer. Help. Lord, help me. And Jesus said, oh, well, it's not right. I was sent to the lost tribes of Israel. And, you know, currently, the covenant is, I've been sent to the covenant people. And until I die and rise again, the covenant won't go to everyone. But if you know your Bible, you'll know that God actually heals anybody who's got faith, even if you are an outsider. Because he is pleased with faith, and that's what gets him to move. So this woman, and he said, you know, the children's bread is healing. It's for the kids. It's for the people in the family. And this woman said, yeah, but even the little dogs get the crumbs. I'll have a crumb, and you can heal my daughter. I'm talking bold. An outsider who shouldn't even be in the presence of a rabbi in that culture. I mean, boldness won the day. Jesus taught on prayer. I don't know if you've ever read after the Lord's Prayer that Jesus teaches on actually the spirit or the way to pray. And he says, think about if you've got a friend comes to you and you haven't got any food in the house. And it's midnight. And you know that your other friend who's always got food in is asleep. But boldness says, no problem, I'll go and get some food. And you go to your friend's house and start knocking. Get up, I want food. And Jesus used this illustration about prayer. He said, I want you to be bold. Hello. Wake up to real prayer. I want you to come and say, I want provision. Now, he says, ask and go on asking. So keep going until you get it. Boldness. He absolutely admires and answers boldness. Not shyness. Not Britishness. Not what your church used to be like. He wants bold, courageous believers. And that boldness actually gets results. Now this is not, and I have to say not, in all humility I say this, it is not bold in yourself. It's not self-confidence. Self-confidence stinks. It actually is an offense. Because self-confident people don't receive Jesus and go to hell. Because they don't know they need God. And everybody needs a savior. Everybody needs to accept what God did through Jesus on the cross. They need to accept. Do you know what? I am a sinner. I need Jesus to be saved. Self-confidence says, it's okay, I'll do it my way. And so I'm not talking about a self-confidence, a reliance on your own personality, on your own gifts. So many people are so talented that they're actually lost in themselves. Look at me and my gift, I'm so good. I'm the best in the house. Well, God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. To the humble who say, I need God. I can't do it myself. I can't do life myself. I need God. And so the confidence is coming from, you see, David didn't say, do you know what? I'm the best warrior that they've got, Israel. Now we know he was a mighty man. But David always said, the Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my victory. The Lord is my success. He is my help. It's a very different confidence because it's based in the Lord and not in yourself. But a bold, courageous, confident, holy believer. Let's have a vision for our personal lives, to live out a life of boldness for the sake of Jesus Christ. And to lose all these little fears that stop us moving out in faith and trust in God. Boldness means you're able to step out beyond your boundaries. Because you know, in yourself, it's a very, very small world. But God wants you to be bold and go beyond yourself into an adventure that really is His heart to reach people. The adventure is outside of you. It's beyond your boundaries. It's not in your now circle of friends. It's not in just the place you live, where you go to church, where you work. It's beyond. There's an adventure that God wants us to step out into that goes beyond our normal, comfortable spaces. And isn't it great that God wants to lead us into an adventure and not into the most boring life there is? Follow Jesus and prepare, fasten your seatbelts. Prepare for takeoff. It is nothing to do with just managing your own thing, making sure you got your own family, your own prayers answered. It is that and more. Because God wants you blessed to be a blessing. So He starts with you. But then the circle goes out further beyond into many others' lives. You know, you've got to have boldness to try. I remember when I first laid hands on somebody to heal the sick, because that's what I realized the Bible told me to do. Many times, if we were in a situation where somebody had to lay hands on people, I'd support in ministry. So in other words, I'd say, you do it, I'll pray for you. And I had to break beyond my fear to say, right, it's over to me. I'm going to lay hands on this person and say, be healed in Jesus' name. And I had to be bold to try. Because if you don't try, you never will. If you don't try, you never will do it. And so the comfort zone has to be broken by action. Be bold and do something. I mean, I think I'm pretty bold wearing a bunch of roses on my top today. I said to Neil earlier, well, because they last longer, well, it's his revelation. They last longer, but also they go on a long time. So I bought myself some roses. But some people won't break out of their clothing. I know that's minimal, but it's like everything's just... If you're happy like that, fine. But sometimes it's a problem because it's fear. It's how will I look? You need to be free if you like to wear, and I like wearing black actually quite a bit, but occasional color I really enjoy. And you got the fruit of it. I was bold to put it on. You might have been, well, that's not bold. You want to see what I've got in my wardrobe? You just carry on. You carry on. But fear limits your life. Fear reduces your life. It breaks things back into small. But God breaks you into great. Fear pushes you into small. Now, I was looking at I went on Google Images yesterday, just trying to find an analogy where fear limits your life. And I put in the word chicken. Well, all I got was lots of chickens. And I put chicken stroke fear. And honestly, when I saw this, I laughed so much that Sandra came in and said, "What are you laughing at?" Because it was so funny. And this really is a large animal's response to seeing a spider. So can we have this wonderful slide? Isn't that brilliant? That giraffe has just seen a spider. And the response, the fear response is, "Ah, I've got to get off the ground." And, well, we all know what the response was. I don't need to preach it. But that, if that, let's take this giraffe, this little frightened giraffe, as an example. If that giraffe had a different mindset about who he was and who God was, and you just take that as a new creation person, a believer, who God is, like David, the Lord is, he's not going to be running and jumping in fear. He's going to be standing and saying, "Absolutely no problem, because I'm confident that that spider is not going to do anything to harm me." And often, you know, there are irrational fears. And many times the devil plays on your mind with irrational fears. They don't make sense, but he just throws a thought in there that gets you on a little path of thinking about what could go wrong and what could happen. So much so that you could, if, for example, if you start to think, "I don't like spiders, now I'm scared of spiders." Let's just take that down a route until you get to this season when they're all coming in, aren't they? You noticed it's getting a little bit warmer inside than out, and in they come. And the next thing, you'll be buying a new torch so you can make sure that you can go in and you'll go research on all the spider killers that you could buy. Whereas all of this is coming from a thought, and probably a very silly thought that comes from the enemy. But that can happen in real things, real terms, where doctors' reports come and they say that big C word. Well, let me tell you, it's a little C to Jesus. Because God is and has conquered cancer. God has conquered every human problem. He has already defeated every human need. And that's why we need to be people who declare who God is to us and overcome our fears. We can change. That's the good news. The good news is you can change from a fearful, timid person who won't try anything and do anything new to a bold, confident believer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, and we'll look at just this one verse about these two guys who had changed. And I want to say that change comes from God and you trusting God, not from yourself. It's not a self-improvement program. It's God and faith in who he is changing you. Believing this, believing the truth changes you. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, I'll just give you, before we read it, actually, a little bit of background. Peter and John had received the Holy Spirit after Jesus had gone back to the Father, gone through the cross and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit had been sent to these disciples, 120 disciples. And God basically filled them, these believers, like he wants to fill us today with his Spirit. And Peter and John had been going to a prayer meeting, which is kind of what you do when you're a Christian. When you're a believer and follower of Jesus, is what you do. So they're going up to pray. And on the way, they saw this man who was lame sitting at the temple gate. And Peter said, "I haven't got any money to give you, but what I do have, I give. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And I have to say, he was already showing how bold he was. You just see, Peter has been changed. Now, a few chapters earlier, he'd been very scared. And now he's different. He's changed. He's bold. But he'd been thrown, Peter and John had been brought before the Sanhedrin and the scribes, and they began to accuse him and come against them, really, and question them about this miracle. And in verse 13, this is the comment they had about these two guys. When they saw the courage, say courage. When they saw, so courage can be seen. Huh? You can see courage. You can kind of sense it in you, but the effect of courage will be seen by you doing something you haven't done before or it requires huge faith. Yes. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, right? This is the good news, guys. These disciples are unschooled and ordinary. In other words, they don't have all the theological answers for everyone. But they do have faith that they can do exactly what Jesus said, and they'd already done it. And so they said, well, we don't know. We can't answer you with all the theology. All we know is Jesus Christ is alive, and he's doing the same today through us. And so people of God are by nature bold. By the new nature, you're bold. You are actually bold to heal the sick, to go out for miracles, and to go beyond your comfort zone and into, wow, look at what they've done. And even in the face of intimidation, to be very courageous. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Basically, they're saying, hang on a minute, these two resemble the guy we put to death. They're just like him. And what had happened is that Peter and John had become like Jesus because they had been with him. The only way that you can conquer your fear is to be with Jesus. Or like David, what did that mean? Be with his word, the truth. And let the truth change you. Let the truth change you so that it drives out your fear and that you become a person who will never fear anyone or anything. I think if we could think about a circle, just as the Holy Spirit's just telling me something here. Some people are going round in circles, having ideas, then going round and saying fear comes in and you don't actually break beyond that circle again and again and again. We're going round again. And Jesus is saying that he wants you to conquer your fear and break beyond that circle into new and exciting things in God. Hallelujah. He does. He doesn't want you to stay in the same circle. He wants to break beyond into new things. Do you remember the disciples in the boat when Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were in a storm? Do you remember that story, Matthew 14? And basically the disciples had fear in a boat. They were all afraid. They cried out in terror. It was hard work. Storms, the waves were raging. And Jesus comes to them in the middle of the night, really early morning, still slightly dark, walking on water. Now, it's similar to us whatever we're going through. Jesus wants to come to us in it. He doesn't want you to do it yourself. He wants to come and bring his life and help into your situation. Jesus is walking on the water, and they cry out, "It's a ghost!" They go from fear to fear. So they were already scared, and they got even more scared because they thought Jesus was a ghost. Now, to be honest, it's an unusual thing to see somebody walking on water in the middle of the night. And I'll tell you something, there is an unusual life ahead of you as a real believer. You can't box God, so I wouldn't try. He's a little bit bigger than anything you and I have ever experienced. But they actually get a distorted image of Jesus through fear. And fear can change your image of who God is. The things that you fear can actually distort or diminish your image of God. This is really important teaching, guys. And I'm not saying it's a great message. I'm just saying it's important teaching. Because the truth will set you free. And God is saying it's time to stop fearing anything. And your fear can make you think God isn't who he says he is. And Jesus, even when they say it's a ghost, he's not actually put off. Don't you love that about the Lord? He's not religious. He doesn't say, I rebuke you for calling me a ghost. Isn't he amazing? And of course, it's not out of the wrong heart, but it's out of what they're thinking, they're seeing. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. Take courage. Jesus didn't wave a wand and go, sprinkle stardust in your hair. He just said, don't be afraid. Be very courageous. It's me. So he spoke to them to deal with their fear. Now, all of them heard it, but one of them actually had a go. All of the disciples heard, don't be afraid. Now, you could say in this room, you're all hearing the same word, but one of you or two of you, or I'm hoping a lot more, will say, I'm going to give this thing that God has told me to do a go. I'm not just going to hear this message. I'm in the boat. I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to go for it. Please, Lord, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers. And so Peter, having heard what Jesus said to him, or to them, but he said, I'll take that for me. He said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. I'm talking bold. He changed from a fearful man into a bold man who walked on water because he heard, don't be afraid, be of good courage. He must have heard it differently to the other 11. The other 11 must have heard it and said, well, that would be nice, but he's not feeling what I'm feeling right now. The others said, I don't think I can compute that. Peter just accepted it. And you know, the harvest of fearless faith comes from the seed of God's word. If you want a harvest of boldness, it's time to sow the word and believe it. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. He is my provider. Until you actually believe it and are bold to step out on it. Moving from theory into practice. We've got whole churches full of theory up and down the land, and we might even have some here today. And in some ways, in all of our lives, it's theoretical. But God wants us to move from theory into the practice of the real Christian life. And I believe God is setting us up for a season of boldness. Setting us up for a season of boldness. And I'm going for it. Now the thing about, you know, your negative Christians will say, yes, but Peter, after he saw the waves, he sank. And that means man was never intended to walk on water. And I've never seen it anyway, and why would you want to? You just talked yourself out of a supernatural life. You can talk yourself out of who you really are in Christ if you want to. Because you are more than a conqueror. Amen. Through Christ who loves you. He loves you. I'd rather try and walk for a while and say, been there, done it, got the t-shirt, walked on water for a bit. Imagine that one. Rather than, never done it, don't know that I want to. Now I leave healing to other people. I've never told my friends I'm a believer. People at work don't know about it. They don't know what I do. They don't know what I believe. I just need to make sure I impress them sufficiently that they accept me. What's that? Fear. It's time to get out of the boat and give faith a try. And be bold with your faith. It's time to come out of that boat of failure. Where it didn't work before. and you fear it not working again. God is meditate on his word day and night. Isn't that what God has said? Meditate during the day, and at night, if fear comes, meditate on the word. Whatever the answer is, it's meditate on the word. And the truth will set you free from fear. Jesus picked up Peter. And I think you need to know that you give faith a try and you start to sink, Jesus will pick you up. Because he loves you. And he actually died to save you, not to sink you. But he wants you out on the water trying things you've never done before. Hello. Welcome to the real Christian life. It's an adventure with Jesus. If you do it his way, I'm not talking about foolishness, stepping out on something that isn't God. You do that, you will sink like a stone. And sometimes God will let you until you realize you were wrong. And then he'll wake up and say, help! And he'll say, fine, let's do life my way now. But I'm talking about stepping out on what Jesus has said and what his word says. Don't be addicted to safety. Did you hear that? Don't be addicted to a safe life. Live a bigger life. I love that. Live a bigger life. Go bigger. You know, go large. Living it large. Not at McDonald's, but for the kingdom. Otherwise, it won't work for you if it's McDonald's. But live it large. Live in the Christian life large. Peter changed from fear to faith. I need you to see this. Peter was afraid and he changed. And he changed pretty quickly. And so I have good news from the Lord. That if you meditate on his word and do life his way, he will deliver you from all your fears and the truth will set you free. And hearing him say, be strong and very courageous, over and over and over and over will change your personality. Because the word will change your soul, your character. From timid to bold. From chicken to courageous. I'm just going to finish with a comment or two on the Old Testament guys, Joshua and Caleb. Caleb was a bold, courageous believer. He saw the giants and said, yes, we can. He didn't say, no, we can't. He said, yes, we can. And a bold believer will always say, yes, we can. You haven't got the spirit of sleep on you, have you? I rebuke it. Are you awake? Yes. Say, yes, I can. I can do what Jesus says. And Caleb at 85, how old? So obviously there's no retirement from exploits of faith. In fact, there's no retirement biblically, ever. Biblically, there's no retirement. Pre-sin, man was created to work in the garden. Whoops. So permanent holiday is not your future. Permanent adventure is, with the proper rest, with the balance of life. But Caleb at 85 said, when they'd gone into the promised land and dealt with a lot of enemies, Caleb went to Joshua and said, I'll take the most difficult bit, which is that mountain. So basically he says, I want the most difficult part of the land and I'll have it. I believe older people have an inheritance in them of faith that they should be going for even bigger things. And I believe it's never too late to start. You're not too young, you're not too old, and it's never too late to live a larger life. He delivered me from all my fears. When David heard Mr. Goliath say, I'll have your flesh. Come on then. And started to move towards David. David, first of all, to counteract that fear, said, you come against me, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I will actually feed you to the birds later. And this army is going to be defeated. This is one small man in front of a big Goliath. I'm talking bold. And what I love about, if you read 1 Samuel 17 later, I love it because we're going to finish now. I love this. When Goliath started to move towards him, David ran quickly towards Goliath. What a revelation! Because you know this is true. You can think your faith to death. Think about it long enough, you can get yourself back into fear. So David declared his faith, because faith is always speaking about what you believe about God. Very important to use your mouth for the right things. Agreeing with God's word. And he ran quickly at Goliath with his little sling. Bush! And he fed him to the birds. Bold, courageous believers. Beloved, I am not without compassion, because I've been in a lot of situations where my knees have been knocking. But through God's grace and through finding my faith and trust in the Lord and meditating on who he is, I have conquered many fears. And I mean many. Glory to God. But we are here to be bold, courageous believers who know how to conquer every last bit of fear through faith in the name of Jesus. Let's stand.